I recently did a search on Amazon. What I was looking for was the number of books that dealt with revealing secrets. So are you following me? It's any kind of secret. I was like, how many different kinds of books reveal secrets about all kinds of different subjects? I was surprised to find 194,911 books on secrets. Some of my favorites. The secret success of Bill Gates. The secrets to my hot and happy marriage. The secrets to rapid hair growth. Don't need that one. The secret, catch this, middle children, the secret to the power of the middle child. I didn't know you all had any power, but I guess you do. The secret, sorry ladies, to six-figured women. Six-figure as in dollar signs? I don't know. Let's move on. The secret to the short game. Let's give a shout out for Phil Mickelson. We can finally read that now that he's won something. The secret to what? The secret to how I won $500,000 in free money for college. I just have this one question. If you can do that, do you really need college? The secret to lost cats. Enough. What I didn't find. In my scrolling down these thousands of books and reading the content of what they're about, I didn't find any books that revealed the secrets of what? The secrets of spiritual matters, the secrets of spiritual truth, the secrets to my faith, the secrets to God, the secrets to taking my faith to the next level and getting to a better place with Him. Nothing. Question. This is me setting it up on the tee, okay? Question. Where do you think you find those secrets? Open your Bibles, please. If you brought one, go ahead and open it up to Exodus chapter 2. If you don't have one, no problem. You can grab one from a seat back nearest you, or you can listen along as I read. But we are starting a new series. It is entitled Next Level Faith. It is from the book of Exodus, and it's a character study on the life of Moses. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you the five secrets to next level faith. You say, why do we need this next level faith? Well, catch this. I firmly believe that if you reach the next level, if you have a spiritual breakthrough to get to the next level in your faith, then that will increase the bottom line in every area of your life. Do you believe me? It's true. And so if you're not convinced yet, which I sense some hesitation, you will be as we move forward. And today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on Moses' mom. Why? We're not going to focus on Moses. We're going to focus on his mom. Why? Because that's where the story starts. But also because she had a faith that, can I say it like this? It was out of this world. It reached a different plateau. Like it was something that, I mean, it's a faith to be looked at. It's a faith to be learned from. And so we're going to start there, and you're going to see these secrets arise from the text. Are you with me? Secret number one, if you're a note taker, please go ahead and write this down. Next level faith is born in adversity. Adversity. The difficult times. That's when our faith is born. If I can say it like this, difficulty and trials, if you're going through one right now, then it's like this. It is the incubator to your faith. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 2. If you're in one of those seatback Bibles, it's page 45. It says this. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. Now, that reference to Levi there, it's not referring to the kind of jeans they wore. It's referring to the rich spiritual heritage that they had. And you might say to yourself, well, these are Moses' parents. I know where this is going, but how come it doesn't give their names? Well, for some reason, that's held back. We find out their names in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. Get ready for these names. Jochebed, that's her name. Amram, that's his name. Imagine the junior high years for them. Not very good. So we're going to do this. For this message and this message only, we will refer to her as Mama J. We will refer to him as Papa A. Got it? Let's continue on. In verse 2, the woman. What's her name? You got it. She did what? She conceived and bore a son. That's Moses right there. And when she saw that he was a fine child, what did she do? She hid him. But she didn't hide him for a day. It says this. She hid him for what? For 3 months. It was like she was hiding him. We're going to take that apart in a minute. But if you have a pen and you like to mark up your Bibles, underline that word fine, because it's very critical that we have an understanding of what it is. That fine there, the Hebrew word, it's interesting. Some translations translate it beauty, but it's not just referring to a baby's outward beauty. It's outward beauty and it's inward beauty as well. And so, question, why did she have to hide this baby? The context of the book is what I want to share with you now. Look with me, and again, important verse, verse 8 of chapter 1. Let's read it together. It says this. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Important words. This new king, this Pharaoh, this king, he didn't know who Joseph was. Now, if you're a reader of the Old Testament, you'll remember that Joseph is one of those main characters. He's an essential player. He's one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He's mentioned in Genesis chapter 37 through 50. His story is like amazing. It's like, how can you forget? He did this. He rose from obscurity and rose from nothing. And he became what? The right-hand man to the Pharaoh. He was like the chief of staff, so to speak. And he had lots of power and lots of opportunity. But it says in verse 8 that no one knew him anymore. There wasn't a statue of him. There wasn't a picture in the house of the parliament for the Pharaoh. They had forgotten him. Why is that? Because from the close of Genesis to the beginning of Exodus, it was 400 years. And it's interesting that in our Bibles, we don't see this, but in a Hebrew Bible, if you were reading the beginning of Exodus, it actually starts with the word and. Because the writer wants us to know that it's a continuation of the story. See, Exodus means this. It's actually a Greek word, not a Hebrew word. And Exodus means to depart and to exit. So what's the backdrop of this story? The backdrop is Exodus is the book that records this. It records the birth of the nation of Israel. It records their bondage in slavery. It records the freedom that Moses led them to, much like us. You say, Ron, what do you mean? I can't wait to get into this book for each of us as we study this, because you're going to see so many references or allusions or spiritual things that we can apply to us. It's like this. Moses is a foreshadowing to Christ, and just like these people were freed from the bondage, we've been freed from the bondage of sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's so many parallels that we're going to see. But if you continue to read verses 9 through 15, what you're going to see is you're going to see that recorded is the Israelites did what? They got into all kinds of trouble because their nation was growing too fast. And so they made them slaves. You say, can it get any worse? I say, yeah, look at verse 15. It says, then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of the women was named Sifra and the other Pua. It ain't getting any better on the names. When you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, If it is a son, you shall do what? You shall kill him. But if it is the daughter, he shall live. What were they doing? I mean, this is genocide. This is, they were exterminating the race. As we look at our papers and listen to the news and see what's happening in Syria and innocent people are dying, this is nothing new. This is, Pharaoh was like Hitler. He was trying to exterminate the males, the boys, as soon as they were born. Can it get any worse? It did for them. How many people remember, I don't know, think back if you can with me, if you can go that far back. Think back 80s, early 90s, standing in a mall. Are you with me? And you would be looking at this poster. And the poster was just made of all these dots. Do you remember these posters? And if you looked at it long enough, what would happen is that something would arise as you focused on this poster and you looked in really hard, and something would come forward, whether it was an eagle or a building or something like this, or Snoopy. And you'd see people just staring like this, and you'd walk up to the people and you'd just be like, oh, what are you looking at? And they're like, well, I'm looking at this. And do you see it? And you're like, no, I don't see it. Do you see it? And they're like, no. And you say, well, how long have you been here? And I've been here for an hour. Those are called 3D, and I don't know what this name is for, 3D stereograms. And we, can I suggest, if you want to get to the next level in your faith, you need to stare down the adversity in your life. You need to stare down the trial and the difficulty. And I believe if you stare that down, just like that stereogram, that something will emerge and something will catch your attention. And I will say that it is God himself trying to reveal to you what you are supposed to learn in the midst of this crisis. You say, Ron, give me a verse. How about James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, purpose of trials. If you're going through one, get there, please. That is the key New Testament passage. But we've got to do what? We've got to hear and we've got to see what God wants to produce through the difficulty in our lives. Let me ask it like this. Do the trials in your life push you away from God, or do they pull you towards him? Because see, Mama Jay, she was going through a trial that none of us would want to go through. And that trial did what? It pulled her in. Second secret, and that's what I want to do today, is I'm whispering some secrets in your ear of how you can reach a new spiritual dimension, a new spiritual high. What is the second secret? Well, it's next level faith is revealed in action. It's like it gets us to do something. Let's look at the text to see what Mama J did. Look at verse 3. It says, when she could hide him no longer. Who? Baby Moses. And why? Well, because this is like Nazi Germany in the 30s and 40s. And they're probably searching the homes for these kids who got by because they want them gone. But look what it says next. It says that she did this, that she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dubbed it with binnamon and pitch. You say, what's binnamon and pitch? Back to the 80s. Anybody remember MacGyver? That was the guy that took all this stuff and he made stuff with it. Okay, now you're tuning in. Well, guess what? That's the Old Testament version of waterproofing. Are you hearing me? That's what was going on. And so what did she do with this? Look and read the story. It's amazing the step of faith that she took. She took the basket. She saw the basket among, I'm losing my place. She put the child in the basket and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Underline that sentence. We're going to come back to it. That's very important. Now I want to get to this sentence, 4, and this holds some key truth. Imagine this scene. And his sister, who? Moses' sister. That's Miriam. She stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Interesting. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside the river. What is that? Well, she had a bit of an entourage because she's the Pharaoh's daughter.
And she saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying, and she took pity on him, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." I have baby Moses that will be coming to the stage right now.
Oh, yes. Baby Moses. I came prepared.
Now this child, as he looks into my eyes, he is about the same age as Moses was in this story. Could you imagine Mama J placing him in a basket? This is a bit of a modern version of it. And sending him down the river. It's unheard of. It's like the step of faith that it must have taken. But read the text carefully, because when we first read this, and maybe in Sunday school you got the wrong idea, you just think she sent this baby in this raging water. It says that she did what? She placed him in the reeds. It says that Miriam was doing what? Was watching the whole time. See, this was a calculated, thought-through, well-planned event in the life of this woman as she was going to the next level in her faith. And I guarantee you this, that she had been to that river Nile before. She had watched where Pharaoh's daughter had gone. She had seen where what? Where the entourage was. And she was placing this child in a place where she knew what the outcome was going to be. You say, what's the significance of that? I think Mama J had the kind of faith that I want to have, and it's the kind of faith that it's like this. We look at a situation and we do this. We pray like it's all God, and we work like it's all us. This was no accident. And she was doing this. Faith is always revealed in action. She wasn't going to sit back and do nothing as her baby would be taken. But she had a faith that was reaching new heights. Now, as I do this, and as I hand this little one back, and we get that little frog for him, that's in a very part in the story because I think a frog jumped into the basket. But as I hand this little one back, and I'd ask you to applaud, but I don't want you to scare him. I was that age when my birth mom gave me up for adoption to the Catholic Charities. I didn't meet her until only a few years ago. And when Jody and I took a plane out to San Francisco to meet her, she began to describe for us that that was the most painful day in her life that she gave me away. She was only 16 years old. And she had some difficulty because her parents wanted to keep, but she knew, she thought, I cannot provide for this child, so I need to send him away. Now, she had a level of trust that I'm not going to say, and I don't know for sure if it was a faith or a trust in God, but it required something deep within her soul. She told us that she'd never forget that day, and she thought of it continually every day. And that's why she wanted to meet me to see if I was okay with what she did. See, all of us, we've got to turn some things over or give some things back to God, and it requires great sacrifice. See, our faith is always revealed in action, and we are called as followers of God, just like Mama J, to give back to Him. So I'm going to ask you, as this is the major point of application in this message, this is the bullseye, guys. I'm asking you, what do you need to place in the basket and send down the river of God's sovereignty? What is it specifically that you need to give back to Him? See, it's all His anyways, and we by faith need to trust Him with some things. Is it a dream? Is it something that you've been dreaming about and you thought was going to happen and it hasn't yet, and you're in your 40s and you're wondering, like, what's going on? Is it a job, a career? Maybe you got out of college, and the truth of the matter is, it's like, I didn't think I was going to be working at this place right now, and I thought that I had something else, and I'm not even using my degree. Is it a career that you need to do this? You need to just place it in the basket and trust it with Almighty God. Is it a job? Is it a relationship? Is it a relationship that you need to say no to? Is it a relationship that you need to forgive? Is it a relationship where you've got to just do this? You've got to make an exit and you've got to take a break. Why? Because of this. Because God, you know more than I do. And God, I'm going to trust you. And God, I don't think that I need to make a separation right now in this friendship. But God, this relationship and what they're doing, it's hurting me more than it's hurting them. And I can't take it any longer. Is it your children? I mean, we as parents, it's like this. We as parents need to recognize that, yes, our children, they're a gift from the Lord, but they've been entrusted to us for a season. And can I say this, that what I've learned as a parent is it's continually giving them back over to Him and trusting Him with their life. Now, many of you have been asking, and you know that we dropped off our daughter last week and our oldest to college. And so you've been sending me gifts. You've been sending me Kleenex is what you've been sending me. And you said that this was going to be the worst day of my life. And I want to show you that it wasn't necessarily the worst day of my life. And I want to show you a couple pictures. So notice the picture on the screen of Jody and Allie at college. She's dropping her off. And do you see any tears in that picture? No, there's no tears. Why? Because we didn't cry. So there. Let me show you a picture of an hour exactly after this picture. We dropped her off in the dorm. What did we do? Were we crying with those tissues? No. Look at us. We are partying it up, man. This is like, she's gone. Yes. We're like, you know, we're having a fun time. We're relaxing. It's just like, it's like, man, this is good. Oh, it's so quiet at home. We love it. There may have been a couple tears on the ride home. But what do you need to give over? And what do you need to trust the Lord with? Is it this? Is it your finances? So many people I talk to, they got just a grip on their finances, followers of God, and they're not trusting Him. And I'm telling you, God can do more with your 90% than you can do with your 100%. Are you hearing me? Amen. He can. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's one of the four H's that we talk about so often here. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's something from your past that you need to surrender down the river of God's sovereignty. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's a habit that you can't quite break. Maybe it's this. It's H word, a hang up. Maybe it's something to do with your health. And you've been hit with a crisis that you didn't see coming. And you can't do some things. My heart breaks for those that can't be in this service today because they can't come to church because they are shut in now because of health in our church. It's difficult. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's a fear, and you're thinking to yourself, if I surrender that thing to God, then we're just afraid to take that step of faith. And can I tell you that there is no fear? Do not be afraid, the scripture says. The scripture says 365 times, do not fear. I think that's one for each day. God, I trust you. God, I'm in trouble. God, you know more than I about this, and I'm letting go. You know, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament has to do with the woman that was sick, and she was sick for a very long time. And the scripture says that she was in dire straits, and she had been to what? Doctor after doctor after doctor, and there was a crowd of people, and Jesus was in this crowd. And the scripture says that she reached up and she touched his garment. And Jesus did one of these. It's like this. He's like, hey, who touched me? How many people think he knew? I think he knew. But the scripture says that she was healed immediately. And then my favorite part is this. When Jesus looks her in the eye, just like he's looking at you and me, and he said this, your faith has healed you. Faith is always revealed in action. What is God calling you to do? Well, why should I do it, man? Like, I'm feeling pretty confident and I'm feeling pretty comfortable. Why are you pushing me? Secret number three, next level faith. It's rewarded by God. It's blessed by God. Like that's the deal. Look with me at the passage. Let's pull this nugget out. This is why I love the scriptures, and this is why this church spends so much time focusing on the scriptures. You're going to see it yourself. Look with me at what it says in verse 7. Then her sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, who, Miriam? And she was only about a junior high student at this time. She said, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you? Now think about Mama J, how many times she rehearsed that sentence with her daughter. Say it slower. Say it like this. Don't be too excited. Speak very clearly. Don't shout. I mean, this was calculated. She was a woman of faith, and her faith was revealed in action. But look at this. I've read through this story, I don't know how many times, and this, I never caught this until this time as I was studying this past week. Look what it says next. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you what? I'll give you some money. You got a job. I'm going to give you some wages. So catch this for a moment. Do you see it? She took the next level of faith. And what happened? She not only got to spend some quality time, I'm telling you, with her child, but she got paid for it. Can I say that's blessing from Almighty God? And he does bless those who step out in faith. I love what Oswald Chambers writes. He writes this, he says, the golden rule for understanding spiritual matters, it's not intellect, but obedience. See, it's not about what I know, it's what I do. And if I want to please God, it's like this is the golden rule of spiritual understanding. It's not that I need to pump my head with more information, it's that you need to act on what you already know. Boy, I thought I'd get a little for that. Because too many times it's about us doing what? Trying to gain more spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is critical, but spiritual maturity is a mirage to those who gather spiritual knowledge without ever stepping out in faith. Amen. Let's not be like this. See, the principle for the entirety of the Bible is this. Obedience equals blessing. That's it. Disobedience equals curse. Obedience. What you're wrestling with right now is a matter of obedience. Will you respond and do what God wants? If you choose to say yes, and you take that small step, God will continue to reveal what's next. And you will experience the blessing of God through an intimate relationship with him, through a blessing that you didn't see. Fourth secret, just moving through the text. Let's get to verse 10. It's one of the last ones that we'll look at. The fourth secret is this. Next level faith is refined through relationships. Let's see if you can pick it up. It takes a minute to get the backdrop, but let me read the verse. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. Who? Mama J did. And he became her son, and she named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. So that's basically preschool years. Mama J got to keep the kid. Are you getting the picture? And so she had some special, unique time with the child. There's the blessing. But what had to happen was there was a day coming when she was going to have to give him up again. Oh, that's tough. And I bet you, I don't know, I'm just thinking it through for a moment. I bet you she had some sisters around her that they had to speak something to her life because she probably said, I'm not doing it. And the sisters came around her and she had some good people around her and they said, nope, you got to do this. You got to take this step of faith. So I'm saying it like this, that we as followers of God, we want to get to the next level in our faith, then it's refined through the relationships that we have. And so we need to look for other people in our life who can help to bring us to the next place and to help us to refine our faith. I look for one individual friend. His name is Pete. You say, what do you mean? My name's Pete. Can I be your friend? Yeah, maybe. Pete. See, it's like this. P is for what? It's an acronym. I'm looking for the next level Pete who can help me get to the next place. And P is that they are a prayer and they're going to pray for me. And they're going to be the kind of person that's going to pray. And it's like Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. You're like, I've never heard that name. Well, Epaphras, I'm telling you, I see that name. And I'm like, I need people like that because he prayed continuously for the Apostle Paul. And I'm so thankful for the many people who pray continuously for the ministry here and what God's doing. But we need E. We're looking for friends that can help us get to the next place. We need encouragers. Think of a biblical example in the New Testament of an encourager. Do you have it? Who is it? It's Barnabas, isn't it? Like Barnabas was the encourager to Paul, and Paul wouldn't have been able to accomplish all that he did without that man by his side. T, can you guess what that's for? It's for the truth. And we need truth tellers in our life. Are you a truth teller? Well, you need to do what? You need to speak truth to other people. And I need to be the kind of person that receives truth. Why? Because the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. And so we need people in our life that can speak truth to us. And so who? There's many in the New Testament that I could turn to. But I think of Paul, and I think he, man, I'm telling you, that guy is like one read through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you're like, he is on it, man. And the funny thing is that historians tell us this. They tell us there was actually 4 letters. I hope the other two were nice. I mean, he just was a man who confronted a situation with truth. And we need E, the last one. We need this. We need empathizers. And we need people. Sometimes it's not about sharing truth. It's about just sitting over a cup of coffee and listening. And saying, yeah, tell me more. And holding back. You say, give me some examples of them. I just think about the moms that are revealed in Scripture. I think of Jesus' mother Mary, and I think all moms to some degree are empathizers. But see, my experience, I don't know about you, it's usually 4 different people. They're not the same person. So these are 4 kinds of different people that you need. And sometimes we just get this, we get a pet, and that's not enough. Sometimes it's just like this, we have P, and I won't speak about that anymore. But we need all of these. And we need to be, as a fellowship and as a church, seeking out relationships with people. If we desire to get to the next level, we need friends. We need people who are going to do these things. Look with me at Exodus chapter 1 and look at verse 17, because I kind of skipped over it. And in the midst of the cruelty of what was happening in this era, I want to show you the last secret that popped out for me this week. Look at verse 17. It says, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. Think about that for a moment. See, what they were told to do is they were like this, is you're going to give birth to these Hebrew males. Once you see that it's a boy, what you're going to do is you're going to stop that baby from breathing, and you're going to kill that child immediately. And then you're going to look at the mom and say that this is a stillborn. And they said, we will not do that. Why? Because secret number five is this, that next level faith trusts in God and not man. And if you're in a situation right now where somebody is telling you, somebody maybe who is an over authority over you, maybe it's in your job, and they're telling you to do something that what? That is contrary to the clear teaching of Scripture. I'm telling you what? Don't do it. If you're in a marital relationship and your spouse is doing something and hiding it and trying to tell you that it's okay and trying to have you participate in behavior that is clearly contrary to the Scriptures, it's not okay. You see, I need some more proof. Please, if that's you, my heart goes out, and you need some people around you. But write down these verses from the New Testament. Write down Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Write down, please, so that you can share this with others. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. These are the places to turn that says, we will not choose to please men. We will live our lives choosing to please God. Amen. That's next level faith. So I got a definition. And as you prepare your heart, I have a definition for you for next level faith. We're going to put it up on the screen. And I'm just going to ask that in a moment, as I read, you will join me and read it with me. And just know this is what we're going after. And this is what we're going to be looking for in the Old Testament. And this is what we're going to see in the life of Moses. Read with me. Next level faith is the passionate pursuit of God that results in an ever-deepening commitment to a Christ-like lifestyle of action, obedience, and love. Will you go for it? Will you make the choice to say, like I'm in? Because that's what this message is about. It's not knowing all the details. It's not knowing what comes next. It's the first step in change, in that I will recognize that there's a problem and I will do something about it. You know, it's interesting. We're kicking off another football season. Yeah, some of you wanted to clap there, but you didn't know if it was appropriate. And some of you even came in today wearing your favorite jersey for your favorite team. And I bet if we talk to you, I bet you if you're like me, it's like you've already checked out SportsCenter and you got your, I'm telling you, man, I got my Sports Illustrated and I got the thing about the college football and the pros, and I looked at what each team needs and I circled it on my team, and my team needs this. They need a pass rush. My team needs a quarterback that's going to execute. Yes, he does. And my team, I'm telling you, man, they got to catch the ball and they got to up the level. And I'm telling you, they got to get to the next level when it comes to specialty teams, because they blew it last year and that defense has got to hold. And I bet you, if you're like me, that you know exactly what your team needs to do to reach the next level this year. Will they do it? If every player takes it personally and every player fulfills his responsibility and role, they have a chance. But my question to you is, do you know what you need to take it to the next level in your faith? Because too often we focus on what everybody else needs. And what specifically do you need to do? What specifically do you need to surrender to God and send down the river of trust and God's sovereignty, that you will stop grabbing at yourself and you will turn it over to Him? Do you know what that is? Because see, I think we like to live our lives for God with this idea that we're all in, but God's into the details and He's into the specifics and He's not into this generalization. He's like, He will speak clearly. If he who has ears, let him hear, the Scripture says. And my prayer is that you will listen to God as the worship team in a moment is going to begin to sing over you. And don't exit too early. This is the point of the service. This is the time for you to hear clearly from God and precisely. And He is going to lay something on your heart if you let Him. And some, you may already have that thing and you're wrestling with it and you know what it is. Like, face it down. Be specific. identify it. And then I'm going to ask you to do this. In this time, as the worship team sings over you and you connect with God, I'm going to ask that you would not only be specific, but that you would be honest. And for some, that means some confession right now and some repentance. And then I'm going to ask you would be biblical. You say, what does that mean to be biblical? It's like call the thing what it is. Call it by its biblical name. You say, I don't know what box to put that in, what the biblical name is. Let me suggest one for you. It starts with an I. It's idolatry. See, because anything that puts Jesus second place in your life is idolatry, the scripture calls it. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's an idol in your heart, and it's got to go down the river, so to speak. We've got to trust God with it. Are you hearing me? And then I believe that you will be forgiven, and I believe that you can be free. Bow your heads with me. Allow the Lord to speak.